Good morning, everyone. I'm going to call to order our Air Pollution Control District Board meeting of September 18th of the Board of Directors. And let's start with the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With that, I've got an announcement to make. I need to make clear for the record that for this meeting that Supervisor Gibson is participating by speakerphone from Honolulu, Hawaii. Hi, Supervisor.
Hello, Mr. Chairman. How are you, sir?
Doing good, thank you. Imagine you're doing better than us. In accordance with the Ralph M. Brown Act, this teleconference location has been identified in the notice and agenda for this meeting. Supervisor Gibson, can you hear us well, and have you posted the agenda at your teleconference location?
Yes, I can, and yes, I can.
Excellent, thank you. Let's do a roll call vote.
Director Arnold.
Here.
Director Paulding.
Here.
Director Darris.
Here.
Director Gibson.
Here.
Director Hammond.
Here.
Director Francis.
Here.
Director Edwards. Director Kate Seacrest is absent. Director Pichong is absent. Director Bright is absent. Director Newton.
Here.
Thank you.
We have quorum?
You have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you. And before I turn to District Council for a closed session announcement, I just want to ask if there is any public comment on closed session. And then I need to double check. Supervisor Gibson, is there anybody there with you, members of the public, that have any public comment on this item?
There is not.
Thank you. District Council?
We'll adjourn to closed session in compliance with government protection.
Oh, microphone, please.
It's the new technology. It was too confusing. We'll adjourn to closed session in compliance with government code section 54957.6 and 54957 subsection B.
Thank you. We are adjourned to closed session. Okay, if District Council can report out in closed session, please. Thank you. With that, let's go ahead and move to the consent agenda. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda? Seeing no one here, I will go to Supervisor Gibson. Anybody there with you, Supervisor, that has a comment on the consent agenda? Supervisor Gibson.
None, and happy to move it to approval.
Thank you. Do I have a second on the consent agenda?
Hammond will second.
Okay, Hammond seconds. And let's do a roll call vote, unless there are any questions or comments of the board on consent agenda items. Okay, let's do a roll call vote.
Motion to approve the consent agenda. Motion made by Director Gibson and seconded by Director Hammond. Director Arnold.
Yes.
Director Darris.
Yes.
Director Newton.
Yes.
Director Edwards.
Yes.
Director Francis.
Yes.
Director Paulding.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Yeah.
Director Hammond.
Aye.
Vote is unanimous.
Thank you. With that, let's move on to general public comment. Any members of the public wishing to address the Air Pollution Control District Board on matters other than scheduled items may do so now. I see no members of the public wishing to speak. Supervisor Gibson, anybody there with you that would like to speak on general public comment?
Negative.
Thank you. With that, we will close the public comment period and move to the APCO's report. Take it away, Gary.
All right. Good morning again, everybody.
Turn on my mic. Good morning again, everybody. On our Clean Air Room program that this board approved last year, we have given out well over 300 air purifiers. So we have only 25 remaining. Those would be gone if we had any smoke this year. So we feel really good about that. That program has gone well. That's a drop ship program where they just come on, fill out an application online. We forward it to the manufacturer and they drop ship it there. It's a very easy to run program. We've got out a lot of air filters to disadvantaged community areas. National Drive Electric Week is September 26th through October 6th, and we'll be out at several community events to promote electric vehicles and infrastructure funding. There's a lot going on right now in EV charger installations, so they're finally picking up enough steam. PG&E's getting them through faster. I feel good about that. There's going to be an EV ride and drive showcase at Madonna Inn on September 28th, Downtown Farmers Market on the 26th, and Central Coast Sustainability Summit at UCSB on October 16th. We'll be showcasing one of our electric vehicles. Additionally, we had staff attend the electric tractor and equipment exhibit in Santa Maria in the end of August, hosted by Santa Barbara ABCD and the Central Coast Clean Cities Coalition. Staff learned a lot about electric farming and how that's moving forward. Walk and roll to school day. We have staff at elementary school in the South County in partnership with Rideshare to promote walk and roll to school day. So that's coming up. Last year, we had 300 students walk to school on that day with over 50% of the student population at that school. So that would be ideal. I remember as a kid, I never got dropped off at school. As a kindergartner, I'd walk with the kids in the block, and as a first grader, I'd go by myself. So life's different now. I guess we can't go out in the park and play. We have to have an arranged date. Don't get me started. Our monitoring team update. They've done a great job of getting funding from EPA. I mean, phenomenal job. We have several different grants that we're getting from EPA, and we just announced that we've gotten a big chunk of the Inflation Reduction Act funding for monitoring. It's like pretty much the envy of most of the districts out there and anybody near our size. We asked for $843,000, thinking that's pie in the sky, and we ended up getting $662,000. And this is going to offset our costs, so stuff that we're already doing. It's not it's awesome, right? So we're going to be increasing our reserves, which they're healthy right now. They're really healthy right now. But I would like to put in a solar carport at the district to keep the vehicles clean and get the rest of our solar and get us towards net zero. So we hope to take some reserves to this board maybe next year and have a solar carport planned with some batteries to get off of the PG&E rate schedule. Well, and with that, grant team update. Megan Field, our PIO and grants analyst, was going to provide an annual grant report today, but she's got kids in school, and that led to catching a bug, and she's out of commission. Figured she didn't want to share it with anybody else, so we told her that could wait till November. So with that, I'll be asking this board to continue that item until November. This time of the year, we start looking at project categories for our next round of local DMV and state grant funding that's not categorized tightly. For this year, the farmer program from the state is not funded, and that's the very successful program where tractors are replaced with cleaner tractors or state-of-the-art tractors. Due to the budget cuts in Sacramento, they cut the farmer program. And so we've had millions of, typically nearly $1 million a year going to that. We would like to dedicate some of our funding that we have ability to push anywhere to that. And so staff is going to be looking at that specifically for small businesses, ag small businesses, to make sure that we get to the smaller level businesses than in the past. Because it'll be a much more limited funding. We don't have the kind of money that the state was throwing from the greenhouse gas mitigation funding towards that. So, but we do have significant amount, maybe in the $500,000 range or something like that. We could run a half-size program and focus it towards the smaller businesses and lesser, try to spread it out more. These programs are very critical for our farmers to compete. Other districts are doing the same thing, other programs, and if we don't help them, then they're at a disadvantage economically. So, and plus, it's great for the farm workers as well. I think it's a very win-win program, and the emission reductions are easily quantifiable and real. So, really, I really like that program. It's pretty clean and neat. that, the next item I'd like to talk about is our emissions inventory. State requirements in the last number of years have gotten, and federal requirements have really focused on reporting the emissions to the public and getting that data out there. There are several programs that the state has concerning criteria emissions of smaller sources and the toxic emissions. Good news, as a result of our streamlining that we've done with our permitting by collecting our data on in the springtime, we were well ahead of the game on who was reporting and how, so we'll have less of an impact than most districts. Still a lot more work to be done. And we're lucky we have a couple of really good interns. We usually do. So we have Cal Poly intern Indigo Banjo and Elise Merritt, who've been doing a great job. We even get them out there on minor inspections and write them up. So it's a great win-win program. We get environmental engineers from Cal Poly. They get work experience and get to do some professional level stuff besides all the data entry that they have to do. So we try to mix it up. So, you know, half of the data entry and half of it. But when school starts, they go down to about 12 hours a week, 8 to 12 hours a week. So most of that's focused on data entry, unfortunately, but we still try to get them out. Relatedly, at our November meeting, we'll resurrect our annual air toxics hotspot report, provide information on sources of known air toxics. As in the past, we don't expect this report to show any significant toxic hotspots compared to what you would get being near a major road. So small fraction of that, all the data that we have out there and the analysis we do, it's the closer you are to the road, the higher your risk is. So with that, I'll cover the Oceana Dunes Dust Program. Currently, we're analyzing State Parks' annual report and work plan. The first draft is received on August 1st and the second draft last week. There are now over 740 acres of dust control in the Oceano Dunes. The ADARP analysis, their annual report and work plan, shows substantial improvement of air quality downwind, as we've reported. Right now, the plan shows that Parks emits less dust than it would if it were in 1939 state. That still has to be proven. That's also a model to result and not a, you know, and not the long term, not the immediate level of dust emissions. That will take time as the dunes mature more with the growth of the vegetation. So even though we've seen, you know, tremendous gains already, we expect further gains in air quality downwind as well. On October 15th, we'll have a hearing board meeting here in this chamber, and we'll discuss a public workshop this plan and the state where we're at. We'll also have a hearing board general hearing. We'll probably be modifying our stipulated order of abatement with State Parks on a joint agreement. The modification would basically likely extend the time period out a few years so they can prove the emission reductions and retest and remodel and verify. And we expect that to happen to the actual on-level dust emissions to go down. But we also expect to see the air monitoring to go down as well during that time period. Let's see. As of last week, we had the fewest year-to-date exceedances ever at our CDF station, near the refinery. So that's great. With only 13. At this point last year, which is also the lowest we've ever had, was 17. So you can see it trending down. For Mesa 2, this year is tied with last year at 12 exceedances. That one is a little bit, the reduction is not as great there because they weren't as impacted as CDF was before. So now they're on par, you know, 13 at one, 12 at the other. We expect that number to go down on similar years of wind speed. For comparison, Oso Flaco Monitor, which is our baseline under our Rule 1001, has had 3 violations this year. So that one, there's no riding. It's got non-native species, high 4 dunes, lots of growth. It's not in a native state. So that's probably as best control as you can get with non-native species. So we're near that as opposed to the levels of previous years before we started this mitigation program. One of our key benchmarks how well we're doing out there is not just air quality violations, because violating the California standard of PM10 is easy to do. There's only one county in the state that doesn't exceed it. It's Lake County, and they don't measure it in a spot where they could possibly exceed it, or they would. So they're pretty remote. For 35 air districts, there's only one. For the hours over 300, which is our benchmark to see, you know, how well we've cut these big peaks off, which is our main problem, and these huge spikes during the day, we haven't had any of hours over 300 at all this year, so at CDF. At Mesa 2, we've had 5 hours over 300, which is the lowest ever, by the way, the 5 hours over 300. So we feel good about that as well. A little bit on our burn program. Cal Fire last year started doing individual permits outside of ours, statewide. Our local Cal Fire has been reluctant to want to do it. They had to. Since then, you know, we've had some issues with, I've got a permit already. I've got one from CDF. I don't have one from APCD, or I have one from APCD. I don't have one from CDF. So we're working right now. Alyssa and her team is working to combine, do a combined permit, and we'll issue the permit for Cal Fire and put it into their system. So we're working on that right now. In addition, we're working on a new online form for backyard burn applicants that they can enter the data directly instead of downloading a PDF version and mailing it in. That's for new permits. We've been doing the existing permits online already. We're going to try to streamline that as well. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions on all that rambling.
Thank you, Gary. That was a comprehensive report. And I wanted to also just thank staff for the hard work on that Inflation Reduction Act grant. I know it's a lot of work to go after those monies, but $660,000, very good. That's great.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah. Any questions or comments on the APCO report from the board? We've got one, Mr. Hammond.
Yeah, Jimmy, thank you. I was just curious, you know, as far as the dune dust emissions, and obviously they're down, it's doing a great job. Is there any correlation with the number of visitors to the park versus over time? Are they calculating? In other words, less people, less dust, or are they checking that value as far as numbers of people?
The correlation, there is some correlation there. It's hard to feather out. We've looked at, at one time we had a plan to try to track cell phones.
Yeah.
And use the this technology that they have to trace activity levels. But it's really more, has there been activity and what kind of winds has happened? But the level of activity, yeah, it does affect it. The more tire tracks, the more uneven terrain that gets pushed down, the more the sand wants to move to fill it in. It wants to get that smooth dune shape. So you creep it down with a lot of stuff, you're gonna get more when the winds pick up. If the winds pick up gently and move it and it smooths out, it's one thing. If it comes in when it's in rough shape and it comes in big and hard, it's gonna get transfer some energy into that sand, and it's gonna move a lot of material. So
yeah, it's a natural generator, basically. That's what it does. But
yeah,
I just started thinking when listening to your report. I was thinking all of a sudden about are there less people? I never really realized that. Or
They're not less people. They're, as many people as their permit allows in the summertime pretty much come in.
Got it.
So there has been a reduction in the number of the capacity of the park as the acreage has come down. But over the course of a year, I don't think it's hugely significant, because people will reschedule and try to level it out. Mm-hmm. So I think they're, the numbers aren't down as dramatic as the emissions are, so there's really not a correlation to be found with the exact number of people. There's a lot of other variables that are involved with this. Mm-hmm. But there is an impact, for sure.
The only thing I was also mentioning is today we have our meeting. I think Don Legg and Jan Marks are probably up there in Seaside. I'm going to be getting up there late too. But I know that Central Coast Community Energy has grants for EV chargers, EV vehicles. I mean, they're really looking for different agencies to take advantage of that. And I know I'm sure all of us have heard about it. But anyway, have you been working with 3CE directly or indirectly with the EV chargers? You mentioned that there's a lot of them going on.
Yeah, Andy can address that if you would like, but we do work with them and communicate with them on that. So there are a lot of different monies going on in EV charging right now. The numbers is like
crazy.
Dozens, right? So there's all these different entities and different programs with different funding sources, but 3CE is definitely a significant one.
Okay.
Yeah, so we are actively working with 3CE, and actually we work with our applicants, and whenever there's an opportunity that we see of stacking potential, we'll let them know that, you know, beyond the funding that we are providing them, please contact 3CE and see if there's some opportunities there. And they often use our application materials to help them fill out the 3CE application materials. And there's often a $8,000 additional grant that they are able to secure to help stack.
Great. Okay.
And I think another thing that Gary was mentioning earlier about the solar carport, one of the things we're also learning from the city of San Luis Obispo is that the Inflation Reduction Act is also allowing public agencies to be able to take advantage of tax credits that even though we don't fill out tax forms, we can take advantage of those 30% tax credits for solar projects. So we're looking into that right now as well.
Very good. Thank you, Annie. That's all I had. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Supervisor Gibson?
I'm good. I'd only note that there's a complicated relationship between the number of riders on the dunes and the amount of dust emitted. It's not linear, but I would note that when it was closed for the pandemic, there was a significant reduction of dust. So when it goes to zero, we have a sense of the bottom of that.
Thank you, Supervisor. And then for anybody really interested in dust emissions on the dunes, again, I would encourage folks to attend the October 13th hearing board meeting. With that, we'll close the APCO report and move on to board business. Oh, excuse me, let me go to public comment first. Any public comment on the APCO report? Any members of the public with you, Supervisor Gibson, in Hawaii? Bruce, anybody there with you? You got to confirm.
Oh, sorry, negative.
Thank you. Okay, moving to board business. Moving to item B1, Gary has requested that we move that item to November 13th. Anybody have an objection with that or to that? Okay.
Motion for that or?
Yeah, do we need a motion for that? Nope. Okay. We'll go ahead and move item B1 to the November 13th board meeting. Any public comment on that? Seeing none, Supervisor, imagine there's no one there with you.
None.
Thank
no
you.
One.
Moving on to, actually, I've one of our board members has requested that we go to item B3 before we go to item B2. So I'll use the chair's prerogative to go to B3 because someone has to jump off the meeting. So let's move to item B3, the lawn and garden electrification program.
We'll have Andy Mutziger, planning manager, present this for Megan Field, who's not in today.
Good morning, board members. I'm very excited to present today our new lawn and garden electrification program. So today what we want to talk about is provide some background on the benefits of the lawn and garden electrification program, what the proposed program looks like, the program funding and eligibility requirements, and then our outreach efforts. So since It's a 2006 diesel risk reduction program. California Air Resources Board has been one of the leaders in cleaning up the air with clean engines regulations. CARB's most recent regulations on engines have been more toward electrification, and that's mainly to really help steer us to more to the California clean air targets that they have set. As an example of this, in December of 2021, CARB approved the regulation that requires new manufacturing of small off-road engines to, you know, typically found in leaf blowers and lawn and garden equipment, to be zero emission by 2024, which is right now. That does not ban Californians from using existing fuel-based lawn and garden equipment. However, it does mean that when you go to purchase new equipment, if you go to the stores, they're all electric right now. You cannot buy anything that has a fuel-based system. Again, this is not a ban on using older equipment. It is also not a ban on purchasing used equipment. So gasoline and diesel power landscape equipment, it emits a host of different pollutants, including nitrogen oxides, particulate matter, carbon dioxide, and other pollutants. But one thing I want to point out is it is always surprising to us just how much emissions come from this equipment. If we look at 1 hour of use of a brand new lawn and garden mower, that's equivalent to about 300 miles of driving. And on the leaf blower side, it's equivalent to about 1,000 miles of driving, like driving from here to Boulder. So it's pretty incredible. And this is really one of the reasons that the state is targeting these small engines, because of their outsized amount of emissions that come from them. Okay, let's take a look at the step-by-step program flow that we have for this program. First off, the applicants are going to be applying online. We will have an online form. They submit everything to us that way. So then the next step for us is the Air District staff will be reviewing that material, making sure we have everything that we need to deem the application complete, and then award a voucher for the request. These applications are going to be coming on a first-come, first-served basis based on when we deem their application complete. And then the applications will then, after they have a voucher, they'll go out and make the purchases, either online or from local vendors. And then after that, they need to take their old equipment within 60 days and destroy it with one of our participating salvage yards. And then finally, they'll submit paperwork to us to get reimbursed for the voucher amount. Now, sometimes those vouchers will come in, or the purchases will come in lower than the voucher, so we will be paying them what they, you know, are eligible for the reimbursement. Okay, so for program funding, fortunately this year, for the Carl Moyer Year 26 State Reserve, the state decided to focus solely on electrification programs, and it fit really well for us to start a lawn and garden equipment program. So with that, our award this year was $189,000 for projects and $27,000 for program administration. So who is eligible for this funding? First off, they don't have to necessarily be here in Slo County, but if they are, that's perfect. If not, they do have to commit to using the equipment at least 50% within Slo County. And the entities include commercial landscaping businesses, nonprofit organizations, and then also there's an eligibility for entities that provide in-house landscaping services for their Slo County properties. And those include public agencies, public schools, school districts, universities, and commercial businesses that are not landscaping. So following our anticipation that your board will approve these funds, The next thing we have to do is ask the state to for the funds, and then we'll get them in probably within 90 days or so. So our anticipation is that we would likely launch the program. We think we'll have the funds so we can launch the program in December. First 90 days of the program, we're looking to set aside $100,000 specifically for smaller applications of smaller programs that are looking to get something under $5,000 of voucher. And that's really our intention of trying to really bring in the small businesses and help them first get to the funding. After that 90 days, then we would open it up to any applicant that has a program that is no more than $30,000.
That's not to exceed $30,000. We won't give any entity over $30,000. And our intent is to spread it out. And if your municipality would get an application in for above $5,000, then it would, whoever it's first in line would, after the first $100,000 goes or the number of time would get the funding. So we're trying to spread it out and make it as fair, as equitable as can be. But we don't want to see one entity come in and take $150,000 and.
Correct. Yep. All right. So then, this slide shows the voucher amounts that we have. So these are more than the commercial side of the equipment. So they tend to be a little more expensive. So we're talking things like chainsaws, trimmers, edgers. Those are a $700 potential voucher. Leaf blowers and leaf vacuums are $1,400. Walk behind lawnmowers are $1,500, and the ride on or stand on sit mowers are $15,000. And what we're looking for is specifically for new cordless battery powered equipment, scrapping out your old equipment. And then one last thing is that the applicants do have to have a buy-in. They have to come in with at least 15% of the amount of the purchase. For program outreach, we are going to be posting this up onto our website, of course, and then we'll be doing a lot of direct marketing as well to the landscape businesses and also to the school districts and public agencies. We'll be posting quite a bit of this online through our social media as well. So we're really looking to get the word out effectively to move this forward. Before I go on to staff recommendations, I also want to let inform you that we do, with this program, as we move it forward, as we are looking at future funding, if this program is successful, we'll also have the opportunity to fill in this program and continue it in the future. So with that, staff recommendation is to have your board authorize the Lawn and Garden program across Slo County, to approve the budget adjustment that's included in the board packet and authorize the APCO to implement the proposed program guidelines and enter into contracts and agreements that we have to implement the program. And then finally, authorize the APCO to make modifications to the program to make sure that we are efficiently meeting the program goals.
Thank you, Andy. Any questions from the board? Looking to my left. Mike, please. Thanks.
So excited about this program. Thank you so much for the presentation. I just had a couple of process questions. One, I was wondering if there were any considerations given to incentives for local purchase. You had mentioned it could be online or local, and I know that 3CE, when they did their e-bike incentives, had a little extra pot of money for local purchase. I was wondering if there's any thought given to that.
Don't think we made any specific thought to that. That is something that we could consider amending if the board chooses to do that. We could consider doing something to that effect.
Maybe we can discuss that a little bit. I was also a little curious about the voucher structure. It mm-hmm. feels like something that will be fairly easy for municipalities, school districts to navigate, but our small businesses trying to navigate the program, What does that voucher look like since we needed to adjust it based on actual purchase price? Can you explain a little bit what that is?
Sure. It's a voucher program that we've run voucher programs before, for example, with our wood smoke reduction program. So it's a pretty streamlined process. After we've done our due diligence of looking through the application, we can identify the amount that they're eligible for, send them a notice and say, here's your voucher amount, and then they can go make their purchases. Does that answer your question?
I think so, yeah. But then there was the other component of 60 days to get the product, the original gas or diesel powered product disposed of. Mm-hmm. Is there then a follow-up to ensure that was done and
yes.
Does the clawback happen? If it's not, I'm just curious about that part of the process too.
Yeah, so for sure, they're going to have to provide us the documentation from our salvage yards that proves that, in fact, that what they had was destroyed. And we're not going to make payment until we get that information.
Okay. And the salvage yards, those are, I was looking for a list of, you know, where those are located. Yeah. And
we do
they're easy to access.
Correct. We do have a list of salvage yards already on our website. So mm-hmm. It will be that group that can do
okay.
Those things.
Okay, same group. Yeah. Great. Thank you mm-hmm. so much.
Yep.
Thank you. Any other questions on my left? Seeing none, any questions? Okay, Mr. Newton.
Yeah, a couple questions for you. Is this program and the amounts, was that developed by staff or is that developed by the core program?
Yeah, so the state basically identifies the amount of funding that we can give to the different various funding type or categories, leaf blowers or lawnmowers. And the amount of money that we receive from the state is it's a state program. There's an equation that defines how much each air district gets. Does okay. that answer your question?
Yeah, and therefore the reimbursement rate at 85%, is that set by the program as well?
Yes, yeah. The state program basically says that, you know, any of our grant programs, they have to buy in at least 15%. Typically, for our programs, we usually are funding at 65%, so that 15% is never an issue.
It just seemed like a pretty low amount, you know.
It is a low amount, but it is also, we're really trying to incentivize folks to make that switch.
Okay. And the last question is, you know, I have a small business that would qualify for something like this, and we currently do use a lot of the electric items that are listed here.
Great.
But I see that we're targeting smaller business, which would benefit me. Mm-hmm. What I wonder is, if you'd give me a grant hypothetically for $3,000, the benefit to air quality would be less than if it went to a commercial user who's utilizing the equipment 6 to 8 hours a day, where I'm using it maybe 8 hours per week. Is that in any way built into the program? Because I know we're targeting small business, but yeah. Does that in fact make our improvements less?
Yeah, you bring a good point. And, you know, we are, on average, we're looking at what kind of benefits can we get on average, kind of like when you see the $7,500 tax rebate for electric vehicles. It really depends on how much that person is going to drive that vehicle. So it's an average benefit that we'll see. And the state program is really looking at those averages.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Follow-up question on that, and then I see Mr. Hammond has a question as well. Does this prohibit a larger commercial user from applying?
No, they can apply.
Okay.
They could just only apply up to that $30,000.
That threshold. Voucher. Okay. Thank you.
Correct.
Mr. Hammond.
Yeah, thank you. Andy, I mean, are we going to be tasked with policing this like we do others? I'm kind of curious how that's obviously on a complaint basis, and we have mm-hmm. to go investigate it.
Yeah, so you know, we do have to provide. You know, we need to make sure that the folks are doing what they're doing, but we're also relying on them to be truthful.
Yeah, so we won't have to be chasing things down.
Yeah.
What we have to really verify is that they've scrapped the unit that it's been replacing, and they provided the data that they do use it and they do work in these areas. So, yeah, you're always susceptible to some people, but we're spreading it out enough. There shouldn't be any widespread. I don't expect there to be any significant amount, but yeah. So when they come and ring it in, they're supposed to make sure the scrapper's supposed to make sure it runs, that it's not, you know, something that's already like not being utilized.
Correct.
It's already worn out. So that's the key part of the program. But we do not regulate the use of these things afterwards. We won't be tracking them down and visiting their site and making sure they're keeping logs. It would be onerous, and the program wouldn't be
exactly.
It would not be useful at that point because
yeah,
it would be, just be too costly.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Andy.
You're welcome.
Any further questions from members of the board? Supervisor Gibson?
I'm good. I thought those were all great questions.
Excellent. Okay, with that, we will ask if there's any public comment on this item. Seeing none, Supervisor, any public members of the public there with you?
Nobody seems interested here. I don't know why.
That's surprising. Thank you. With that, let's move to discussion and deliberations on this item. I'll kick that off with, I really like the idea that Emily mentioned about at least somehow incorporating a local business, a buy local provision. So we'd be interested to see what the board thinks about that. One question I had, though, for staff would be, without doing market research, do we know that, you know, all of these pieces of equipment, you know, exist in our local inventory?
Well, my sense is that they do exist, maybe not the full variety that you'd be able to see, but the reality is only things that only electric vehicle, electric equipment can be purchased right now. So if you go to Miners or Lowe's or Home Depot, that's what you're going to see. And there's the variety within the brands within the different local stores that we do have.
Excellent.
I might somebody could make a motion that we amend this, allow the APCO to amend this to include a buy local provision, and then we'll research something that's been done elsewhere and add it to that and authorize me to make the changes to incentivize a buy local if they would like to do so.
I certainly would support that. Any other comments from the board on this item?
Well, I just wanted to follow up on what Gary said. Yes, I was going to say I wouldn't want to restrict to local buy only because you don't know what's available. But if it can be incentivized, I think that'd be a good idea. Keep the dollars local. I think that's good. So I do support that. Thank you.
I would just add a comment to the commercial centers do have commercial equipment locally that is available.
Any other comments from the board? I'll just make one comment. This is a pet peeve of mine when I see folks using the leaf blowers and instead of blowing it into a pile, it ends up in the neighbor's property. I was thinking we could include a good neighbor affidavit that they'd have to sign that says, hey, we're going to be a good neighbor, but that might be going too far. Just had to interject that because that's a pet peeve of mine. Oh, Andy,
there is
did you
actually
have a
outreach.
On that?
Yeah, we do actually have outreach on the leaf blowers that we will be doing as part of this program.
Okay, some education and outreach,
yes.
Encouraging them to do
yes.
The right thing. Appreciate that. That's great. Would somebody like to make a motion incorporating Mr. Willie's suggestion? It looks like Ms. Francis.
Yeah, happy to make that motion. This is a move to approve item B3 with additional provision needing to be researched on a buy local incentive.
Second.
Okay, can we get a roll call vote?
Supervisor Arnold.
Yes.
Director Deres.
Yes.
Director Newton.
Yes.
Director Edwards.
Yes.
Director Francis.
Yes.
Director Paulding.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Yes.
Director Hammond.
Aye.
Vote is unanimous.
Thank you. I think that's a great program. Appreciate the hard work of staff on that. We'll move back now to item B2, Performance Indicators Report. And I believe, Supervisor Gibson, you had a schedule conflict, so you'll be signing off. Is that correct?
Yes. I have read over the performance review. I thank you for the accommodation of this remote connection and wish you all a great rest of the meeting.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Supervisor Gibson.
Aloha.
Aloha. Bye-bye.
All right. Turn it over to staff for item B2. Thanks.
Okay, this is our annual performance indicator report to let you know what we've done and that we've met our goals of being an efficient organization and hitting our marks. This year's report, as usual, is we've done a pretty good job on most things, and as you'll see on the line, that We do have some areas to improve, as everybody does. Continuous self-improvement is always a goal of ours. With that, I'll get going on it. All right, so it's key to always have some measure of performance in all your key programs. So we do have published that with our budget every year, and this board approves it. It also includes prioritizing our core operations, because that's what we do. We ensure that our public is protected from air quality issues. And we're also ensuring our board-approved metrics are maintained so that we process our applications timely. We don't want to hold up anybody's decision or any business activity. We strive not to be the one holding it up. So whatever we can do, we'll do it. And then we review and revise those targets annually during our June board meeting. So key accomplishments. We've done a good job with the Oceana Dunes in getting that program going and seeing a continuous improvement there. Our grant programs are really super solid. We're definitely the best run grant for medium-sized districts program. We're consistently told so by ARB that our stuff is timely and complete. That is a great reflection of Andy and his team with Megan and with Tom, our new hire as well. Transportation and mobile sources, they're the largest source of air pollution in pretty much in the United States, and more so in California than anywhere else. They dominate that, so our program to help with mobile source emissions is part of our key accomplishments. Our compliance programs and ensuring our businesses are meeting their emissions limits and that we respond to our complaints timely and take care of our constituents. And then outreach and messaging. Without that, you have to get the word out. So that's a very important program. And like I said, we were going to have the grant report beforehand on with some outreach on stuff on that, but that will come in November. So with the Oceana Dunes, just a summary, I've already kind of mentioned that in the APCO's report. We currently have 740 acres providing dust control. A large portion of that is the plover enclosure area that State Parks has only been able to open outside of their peak time of the year. So the plover nesting has previously has allowed riding after October 1st, and then it ends in March, so not a lot of activity out there. The area is not used that much. State Parks has decided with the Coastal Commission to keep it closed. Should that open back up, they'll have to get further reductions, because there is some emissions coming from it that are in excess when it's open during the year. But it's not a major contributor or of the dust emissions out there compared to the other acreage, because it's not ridden upon during the peak times, and it's the far southern edge of the riding area. So you really have to, you know, the bulk of the people don't want to go that far. They want to get off and start riding. Comparing 2023 to 2017, monitoring shows a 38% reduction at CDF. And, you know, CDF was so much higher than every place else that we expected that, and a 22% reduction at Mesa 2, and that's on the southern edge of our county's community down there. So Monarch Dunes. Modeling estimates the ODS area currently emits less dust now than it did prior to disturbance. That's the model result. I don't believe that's fully developed yet, but with the information and the emissivities that we measure, and we know what happens when the vegetation fully matures and the dunes gets larger, it'll meet that level. As we've seen those levels go down, we'll continue to see them go down given the same type of atmospheric conditions, the same wind speeds and velocities. You will never, ever stop a dune from blowing out, so you'll always get some peak without a natural environment. You'll always have one of these blowouts that happen, so we'll always see some levels. But the real success rate we've seen is that the hours under 300, as shown on this graph, this is at CDF,
2 years running, we have none. As Bruce was mentioning before, 2020, when it was closed, you can see that there were only a handful of hours above 300. So I'm really happy with this graph. That shows a dramatic result of what we're doing and a long-term trend. A few years, you know, it wouldn't be unheard of to have like mega storms coming in with climate change that would cause us to have some spikes above 300 and even maybe 500. But given the same wind conditions that we saw before, we're doing really well. So our grant programs, between 2023 and 24, nearly $3 million distributed to our constituents and the different programs. Two old cars were taken off the road. That was our final vehicle crushing. What's VAVAR stand for?
Voluntary.
Accelerated vehicle. Yeah, I should know that. That program that we discontinued because we were seeing a very large drop in available cars out there. So that may come back in a few years as we see enough of the inventory age out and people wanting to trade them in. But it got to be so that we're only getting a few cars, and the paperwork and the administration was far too difficult to accomplish given the funding that we have available. Our wood stove fireplace conversions, the state has required us to go mainly to heat pumps or wood to wood. They won't let us do wood to natural gas anymore, so we've seen a dramatic drop in that. We've gotten a few of the heat pumps out. They're very expensive, so it's kind of disappointing that we can't go to natural gas because from a localized air quality, it helps a lot. I do realize long-term climate change is not a good solution, but people are still breathing wood smoke that they don't need to breathe if we converted it to natural gas. So kind of torn between that one. We did 19 tractors replaced with brand new tractors, four marine engines out of Morro Bay. One electric vehicle infrastructure project. We're going to see a lot more of those. And the 300 clean air filters that we've distributed out to our disadvantaged community members throughout the county. Transportation and mobile sources, the South Central Coast Cali VIP program, the tri-county effort between SLO, Santa Barbara, and Ventura. We've $12 million for the three counties and 106 charging heads have been funded. EV charging, four electric buses, additional infrastructure. I think that was RTA on the infrastructure, so Regional Transportation Authority. We've aided local businesses and public agencies and install EV charging infrastructure with our APCD grant funding as well. So our compliance program, our permitting and compliance program, both together, authority construct volume increased. Those are our building permits, basically, with 99 versus 40 in the previous year. A lot of new renovation projects that commercial renovations require. Asbestos NESHAPs permits with National Emission Standards for Hazardous Air Pollution for demoing buildings with asbestos containing serpentine, asbestos, not just serpentine, that's a different program. We renewed 1,114 permits. That's the number of permits we administer. Some of these permits, facility wise, I think it's near 700 facilities. Some of them have multiple permits. We did 1,562 compliance inspections. An increase, nearly 1,700 burn permits, and 149 complaint responses, up 11%. Compared to what we were used to getting with the Oceano Dunes when we were first involved in this project, there's a great reduction in complaints. So it's been a good program for easing our complaint response. All right. So, you know, early and often smoke messaging and preparedness. Like I said, this year we haven't had to have it. So as far as wildfires go, but we do extensive coordination with CAL FIRE on our prescribed burning, a member of a lot of different burn programs with different entities. And I talked about us going with a combined permit with CAL FIRE, which we're hopeful that will
ease the burden on our public from thinking that they have the right permits and when they might not. And plus, CAL FIRE wants us to be the lead, so they never wanted, locally, they never wanted to issue these permits that the state did. But a lot of the state doesn't have a burn program, and so CAL FIRE was trying to get a handle on it throughout the whole state. So they basically forced the local CAL FIRE organizations into this. Enhancing public awareness, 50-plus mentions in media articles and stories this year. We've issued 19 press releases. 3,600-plus members have signed up for our AirAware text program. So had we had a wildfire, 3,600 people would have gotten text messages with wildfire smoke impacts that, hey, the level's coming. You should take precautions, stay inside, stay indoors, go online and look for one of our homemade air filter.
Is that Megan, the penguin there?
That is Megan the penguin.
Nicely done.
I think Tamara's holding some stuff as well. So 1,000-plus posts across various social media channels. I'm still not used to getting information from social media, so my kids are always like, "Did you see my post?" What? I looked at it last week. Outreach and messaging. So we work with local nonprofits like the Diversity Coalition, Promotoras, Corazon Latino to extend our messages to the communities where they live, Central Coast EV Future Event, Earth Day, National Drive Week, which I talked about earlier, is coming up in a few weeks. We're a sponsor at Slow Blues Baseball Games, where we try to get the word out to that group. We do Cal Poly class tours of our office and our monitoring network for the up-and-coming students there. And we do promotional events at the Cal Poly Athletics as well. So agency resiliency is streamlining, constantly trying to keep online with the best technology out there. And we're very fortunate that we stole a person from the city of SLO, Jason Dornich, and he's a top-notch programmer and technical guy. So we're very lucky, and the city is not. Sorry about that, Emily. Yeah. You can always call Jason and ask him. So, you know, we're committed to adapting to local and statewide protocols to ensure that our customers are safe and that our programs are not impacted by any of our current issues. We've met our cost reduction and budgeting goals consistently over the years, and we haven't gone into reserves as planned for our fiscal plan. We've taken a little bit out from reserves, but ended up getting more money back into it. That's the result of these grant programs that are now have less money coming into them. We still have a lot of money to spend during a grant, so we're going to get the administration money still. But given the look of the California economy, I expect next year to be another reduction in grant funding. That won't show up in our balance books for a few years because we have a bunch of money that takes years to process through. So like I mentioned before, we're prepared to reorganize through attrition in the coming years should we need to. We can probably survive with one lesser staff, and that should get us through any issues we have short term until the next fiscal plan. We'll probably start developing the next fiscal plan at the end of next year to address any future budget issues we have, but they would just be tweaks and not large changes. So we've got good plans to ensure that. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from members of the board? Seeing none to my right, to my left. Well, let me go to public comment. Any public comment? Seeing no members present. Gary, I'll just say great report. Good job to everybody in the organization. You're doing good work. I do believe that over the years we have right-sized this organization. You're not growing in staff. You're actually doing more with less. So appreciate that very much. And with that, I guess we'll move to the next item. That was a receive and file, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So that would be board member items. Any items from members of the board? Okay. Seeing none, we will adjourn the meeting to our next scheduled meeting of November 13th, 2024. And have a good day, everybody.